This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What it is.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Tyrus and the Wise Men. Excuse me, fellas, I was running late. I sat down, I was talking boxing with Pierce Morgan today, so that was pretty cool. So talking about that big fight coming up between Jake Paul and Fury.
Well, that ought to be good, actually, to be honest with you.
I mean, he's got to cash some checks, his ego wrote, so he's going to be in there with a real boxer now.
Right, yeah.
This ain't 54-year-old UFC guys. This is... real deal. Dude's been doing this since he was 13, so it'll be real quick or it'll be a huge upset. But I think he's playing with house money, though.
Well, if it ain't yours, I guess you can do another.
But I'm saying he gets knocked.
Is he actually good?
I thought Silva actually outpointed him, although he had the knockdown. It was a pretty good knockdown. Like I said, he's knocked out some guys, but I would argue a lot of those guys, you know, the UFC guys, had already been in a million wars. Probably, you know, just generally speaking, didn't have, if they could still take hard hits, they'd still be in UFC. So, right. You know, you can, but I'm not, I mean, you know, the internet world, which we're all not necessarily big fans of, that's what they like. And guys, you know, playing boxer, but it's a big deal. Do I think Jermell Charlo is worried about him at 154 pounds for his championship? No, but, you know, all the pressure's on Fury. I mean, his older brother's Tyson Fury. So, you know, and Tyson basically told him he'd leave his ass in the desert if he lost. So,
his dad ain't no bet. Like, his dad's just as aggressive about the whole thing too. Like, yeah. His dad wants to fight him.
So they had a bet to where winner takes all. So I'll probably check it out. Why not? It's not like if there was an NWA pay per view, I probably wouldn't check it out because I'd be doing our thing. But you know, it's a good time, man. People, I kind of like the further we get from the pandemic, people are out, they're doing things. Kind of interested in this. What do you guys think about this? Everybody's wrestling and or boxing in Dubai and Saudi Arabia and stuff like that. Do you see the wrestling world headed that way too?
Totally. Why wouldn't not head over there? I think.
Did you read? Man, they put out some statement the other day. I'm gonna look it up really quick and I'm gonna find it and tell y'all. It was some profit statement that WWE's profited more off. I think it was Elimination Chamber.
Yep.
The one that just passed. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Following the money, right? It's all about following the money.
Yeah, well, I said, of course they're putting out how much profit they're making, like, you know, the most profit they have made right now because they're about to sell the company. So they want it to look appealing.
Right. And, I mean, it's because I've wrestled in Dubai. I've wrestled in Qatar. I know WWE did a yearly event in Saudi Arabia. But I think for some of the smaller companies, you know, that might be a way to get on the playing field and give some of their talents some big paydays because that seems to be opening up to the Western way of entertainment and sports. So, you know, they just had the World Cup out there. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised in the next couple of years if you saw NWA pay-per-view in Dubai. I think that would be...
We better be flying first class.
Yeah. Well, if there was a trunk of a plane, Aaron would put you in it. But yeah, but you know, every time I've been over there, you get treated like a king or queen, and you know, I was wrestling there, and one of the Sheik's sons, I was his favorite wrestler, so they invited us to the palace, and wow, I was like, wow, just wow. When you have a plane as a chandelier. You're doing some things. You're doing well. And he had every he had every Ford ever made as a collection in his garage. Like, we would collect Hot Wheels. And he had pet cheetahs. And the only thing that bothers me is they do this, and I know Kofi had the same issue where he was wrestling over there for the WWE, and they gave him this amazing sword with jewels in it. But, of course, he couldn't get it through customs. So it's like, and then he had to give it back, right? And the son gave me one of his prized cheetahs. So I have a video of me playing with this cheetah, thinking how I'm going to get in my carry-on bag. You know, and it's the same thing where it costs a small fortune and permits and whatever to get it. At the time, I was living in Florida, so you know damn right well I could easily have had a cheetah as a pet in Florida because everything goes in Florida. So, but it was amazing when I was like, oh, it's going to cost just a shade under 20 grand to get it to America. And I just said, you know what? He's happy here. He'll always be with me in spirit. But, you know, it was very, very cool, you know, very cool. So I'm hoping that that opens up the venue. But I don't also want it to take away from the American fans. I don't want to see to where the only way that they see live events is on pay-per-view. I still think, you know, you still got to build at home. And I think the NWA, we're doing that. I think we're building, you know, we're seeing a big number in attendance starting to spike up. And we just came off a very successful pay-per-view, and all our TV tapings were sold out and our pay-per-view numbers are up. So people are starting to come out and they want to see wrestling and they want to see stuff. So it's good for all of us.
Yeah, I think it is. And to your point, when you say the American fans, I've been saying this all along, and I'm sure you guys have heard me preach it and everything to the younger talent, where what is missing in the business today is what made the business so popular in the first place. And I often equate it to, I say, North American television wrestling, or wrestling, as they call it, which is more theatrical combined with, you know, all the physicality being what it needs to be. Top level athletes, you know, smashing each other, throwing each other around. But at the same time, it is an allowance for characters and the way it was presented with the drama of it. And, you know, with NWA, that's what we're going for. And I think that's what's hopefully going to make us the standout, which is what we're all going for. Because there's a specific style that is completely lost today, because a lot of people have schools that just don't know how to teach it.
Well, okay, but before we get on that real quick, you know what? How much do you think TV killed the character part? Because they didn't have time, you know? You got 8 minutes with entrances and you're set, and you don't have time to get the character over. You got to get the match over. I think that hurt the game. Your thoughts, anyone?
I mean, not to say, again, I'll shut up after this, but if this is just me, and again, I think we're all in the same boat professionally. You give any one of us TV time, we'll get the character over.
Right, yeah.
We just don't have a million things. I can get my character over when you announce me. In 5 seconds, you'll know exactly who I am, and the same can be said for any one of you.
I think this group, though, is a different league, though. And I mean, I'm not trying to toot our horn, but toot. We all can go out there and be handed a broomstick and go out there and create something. Whereas this generation that's coming up isn't getting those opportunities, and or they're not learning that style of wrestling. It's more of the spots than the story. And I think we're actually delivering a lost art, in my opinion.
I was going to say, too, like social media, right? How much of that do you think is taking away from the TV, right? If they can always find the character, if the character is being more developed on social media, or how does that play in?
There's no mystery anymore.
Yeah, because I really do believe that has changed a lot of the business. You know what I mean?
Remember when a guy could come out from parts unknown and we all be like, whoa, like, holy.
And they had to go to a specific outlet to see that character in that form express himself there. And then, but if they get it all on social, you know, I don't know. That's something I wonder too.
Well,
you know,
how much different dimension. Like, it's a different dimension to a character. But no, like if you want to present yourself to the public a certain way, which is all character is, because sometimes I think we get niched in these terms. Like, oh, what a promo is, or what a character is, and all that. But what all a character is what your perception is, or what the public perception of you is. Right. And that's kind of all it is. And like, you can use social media to your advantage, and a lot of people do that. You know, it's just like, how far are you willing to go?
Yeah.
Or not go. Because to Trevor's point, if you're from parts unknown, you have to have the fortitude to not be on social media. You have to not get that attention. You know, like I don't do social media because I'm a hooded character and I'm from parts unknown. So therefore, why would I have a Twitter account? So the only way you'd see me would be at NWA, but then they'd be like, oh, you're not going to be able to get over as much if you don't use social media. So it just comes down to how committed you are to the bit, because mystery used to mean something. And it seems to be.
Could you imagine if Undertaker would have put out like a tweet, headed to Starbucks?
Right, exactly. Yes. He never did that.
Yes.
He never did right. that. Neither did Kane.
No.
He never did that. And there was a mystery to it. And you wanted, you would hope to catch them, you know, but they protected the gimmick, you know, and they protected the sport. Then, yeah. I think
people got pictures of them outside the ring. Like Taker was always, you know, glasses, big long trench coat, you know, like you said, protected the business.
You know who he doesn't get enough credit for really protecting the business and was the Boogeyman. He would wear a veil at the airport. You never saw his face. Now, I don't know how the hell he got through security every week through TSA.
He was the Boogeyman.
But he never wore, you never saw his real face. He wore a black veil and a hat. So you never saw his face. And I remember seeing that the first time I saw it, I think I might have been hungover, and I was like, what happened to him? And then I was like, dude, that's awesome. You know, that he is protecting the Boogeyman. So the only time you ever saw or had any idea, you had no idea who the Boogeyman was, you know, and that was, I think that was amazing in that day and age, in this day and age, to protect things and not, and just stay away from the internet. But then again, we kind of hit on it, but I think we need to talk about it because it's driving me crazy. Now, Luke, you run one of the most reputable schools, tough schools. Guys come out of there and are able to go to the next level. How frustrating is it that we have all these wrestling schools, and I'm using that term loosely, that are being run by guys who never pissed a drop in terms of actually being a good wrestler? And I'm not talking about whether some TV show put you on or put you out, because here's the deal. Wrestlers know guys who can go. People, you know, you've worked guys who are technically sound and can train. There's a huge difference between being able to perform. I think the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, is probably the best example of that. One of the best technical wrestlers and character wrestlers ever. But he just never had the desire when he was asked to age in and teach guys. He just didn't. He's like, either you have it or you don't. That was just his attitude. Yep. So as a guy who's able to not just perform in the ring at a high level, being able to train at the same time, is it frustrating when you meet guys or you come across guys who show up and be like, oh, I trained at such and such school, and you're like, that guy couldn't even work. How, like, these backyard garage schools is killing the business.
I let it go because I realize that it's a never-ending battle and there's nothing I can do about it. And the reason that is because there's no qualifications to get in or to be a professional wrestler.
Right.
There's no standard. So there's no certificate. There's nothing, you know, your mama could be a pro wrestler.
Yeah, for real.
Frustrating. And that's what bugs me about the athletic commissions right here. Like, you got the Louisiana State Athletic Commission, right?
Right.
They're supposed to commission events and, like, you know, safety, everything involved. But they have no idea what they're looking at. Nobody on the commission has ever been in freaking wrestling before. And the sad thing about it is, like, it's just a money grab. Mama can go get a wrestling license and promoter license. They don't say, what do you know? You know, they don't put you through any tests, you know, nothing. They just say, pay this fee. Okay, now you're a wrestler. And it's like, wait, what? How? You can't do that with baseball. You can't do that with football. You can't do that. Like, I can't say I'm a pro football player because – you know, I'd have to show some kind of statistic behind it.
Right.
You know, you'd have to show my, you know, I played for the Saints for 1 year, whatever the hell it was. Like, pro wrestling, everybody could say they're a pro wrestler. It drives me nuts.
Yeah. Acting is the same. You got to have a SAG card or show your IDBM or whatever the hell it's called. I did that movie.
SAG card.
Yeah. SAG card. So, yeah, like, and so we're having this influx in that of these untrained guys. By guys who just didn't get it themselves, and their whole stick is that they were too good to do, you know, to work up north, you know, or work down south.
Anyone that ever says that just sucks.
But I wanted to stay close to home.
Yeah, like I just, you know, I'm not going to be told what to do, you know, and or they were, you know,
think about it, though. There are guys like that. Think about how many guys came in, got signed, went to NXT or Florida. And just didn't want to do what they were told.
Right.
And got released. You guys seen it?
That simple. I mean, like, and it is, right? Like, sometimes, like DiBiase said, you either got it or you don't. And sometimes, in my opinion, the answer really is, you know, do you have an aptitude for this or do you not? Because these people with wrestling schools, what has happened, what I've noticed, is that suddenly, and this is just, again, real talk, they think they're entitled to an opinion when they are not. Like, they do not have the time into this, nor the skill set to, like, nor the resume to prove, like, that when they say something, it needs to be taken into consideration. And it's just, like, the lack of skill level and then the amount of credibility that is lending itself to that skill level is kind of disturbing.
We'll be back with much more after this.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
That's why I took so long to open up a school, because I was like, I didn't have a TV background from wrestling. I wasn't signed to WWE, so I said, who would want to learn from me? They're going to think I don't know anything because I've never been on television. So that was my attitude towards opening a school at first. And it took me a long time. And I had to convince myself that, like, I could do it.
Okay, but let's, you know? To those of you who don't know, I think I wrestled for the WWE in New Orleans and Louisiana. Probably, I would say, in my career, I'd say probably 20 to 30 times, maybe more. And every time I was there, Luke was there. If he was not bringing in guys to take a look at, if he was not working young WWE guys, getting them ready for TV, like his resume, although, yeah, for whatever reasons, and again, whoever decides to pen whether you work or not on TV or not is really not up to you. It's up to them. And we've all been on the good side of it, and we've been on the wrong side of it, right? One day we're the new like God dropped us in the wrestling planet, and we're on our way with a rocket on our back, and then all of a sudden we're that guy. Like, it changes just like that. But there was nobody who would question his credentials because he worked me. He got me through a match when I was green. He's worked probably every main eventer outside of the guys from the Attitude Era who are always established at one time or another. So that type of resume is different because he can back that up. I've been in the ring with everybody. I've got this guy a job. I did this guy a job. That's a different thing. Then there's the guys who've been an extra once or twice in a dance situation who then open up a school in their garage. And because they're only charging $50 a month, and it's cheaper than to go up to, say, to a Wildcat where there's a good chance you're going to get cut, or you go to the Bully Ray and Devon school, or you go to Dr. Tom Pritchard's school. There's a good chance after being there a week, they're going to sit you down and say, here, keep your money. This isn't for you, you know? And when they don't tell you that, and they tell you, hey, being 5'6" and 400 pounds, you're a gimmick guy. You got this. No, you don't. You know what I'm saying? Or the fact that they tell you to throw a drop kick and you have no clue what that is, that's not a good school. If it's cheap and close, there's a reason for it. If you go in there and you look up on the wall and you speak to the trainer and like, hey, even if the guy didn't make it to WrestleMania or whatever the hell, but he has a list of guys that he's trained or worked with and people who would vouch for him. And there's photos in the locker room of guys who've came and went, who've had the opportunity, let's say to work for Wildcat Wrestling, for example, for one of the schools I'm talking about here. If you don't have those things, if the garage is just pictures of themselves, don't keep your money, save it, pay your bills, train and find a school that maybe won't accept you at first, because that's the place that's going to let you work and really let you know whether this is for you. Because there's nothing worse than training and I'm just saying a garage, but training in a garage for 2 years under these false pretenses, go to your first dark match and someone like an agent like Arn Anderson says, get the out of my ring. Where did you learn this? Who trained you? You know, and I've seen that, you know,
all the time.
And then they turn and look at their trainer, and you know what he does? He looks away. He looks away with his frailed long hair and his fanny pack. He looks away. Yeah. You know, like, man. No, I just
also comes down to the weeding out process, guys. Like, everybody on this podcast would never have gone to somebody that we didn't think could get us to the next step. And if you're that guy that's looking for Jimmy Bob of, you know, some local Kentucky town, you want him to train you, that's the name you want to throw around, I say go for it. Because well, guys like you don't need to be in our league. You know what I mean? Like, none of us went to school going, I want Jimmy Bob to train me.
I had trouble with understanding this for a long time, and I still don't understand it, but I did let it go. Maybe y'all can help me. See, when that started happening and other schools started popping up, like I would have a student for like 3 or 4 months, didn't know his head from his ass, and then he would quit. And next thing you know, he would go open up his own school like right down the road. I'm serious.
I know you are.
And then they'd start running shows, and like some of our fans would leave our shows and go to their shows and stop coming to our shows. And their shows were so freaking bad, bro. But like, because they interacted with them on social media, people would go to their show just because they would, you know, write them back on social media. And I just didn't, and they would post about, oh, this is the best wrestling. And I'm going, it's clearly not the best wrestling. It's terrible. Like, why would you even say that? How could you? I just never understood it. Like,
what'd
I can understand.
Do?
Like, I let it go. I just let it go. Because I was go? Just like, yeah, because I was never. I was like,
you can't put it over. You can't put it over.
Where's that guy today?
Oh, like, they're all quit. They are out. But I'm saying.
Exactly. Because Mark get weeded out. And the problem, and I will shut up after this. But
not a chance in hell that happening.
Yes. No, you, Luke, as the teacher, and I've seen you, and Trevor has seen you, we've all seen you, how you are with your students, right? You care about the quality of your instruction, and you care about the quality of the people you put out. You are not a trainer to feed your own ego, because a lot of it's done because of that. People like having underlings and being like, because they can't make it anywhere else. Like, they can't cut it. Really? Anyway.
Oh, that's a great point. They have a bunch of guys following them around, and
they ain't been to college. You know what I'm
saying? They do find the one talented guy that came in, and they connect themselves to that guy. You guys have all seen it. That guy that's like, he's that diamond in the rough, and we're like, if he just gets away from that idiot, that guy's gonna get over. We've all seen it. You know what I mean?
You talking about Perry with me?
No, I
didn't
think about that.
Yeah, we got him alone at the last taping, and we were like, Perry, we got to get you out, man. And he said, are you kidding me? My little league dad, he'd kill you all. And we believed him. That's how he described his dad. He said, my dad's a little league dad, man. He said, not only after the match, then I got to hear about it in the car the whole way home. And then if he really didn't like it, then I got to go wrestle him. So like, that's why Perry doesn't have many bad matches. I can't ever remember one he has. I've seen him.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that kid. But you know, it's what's awesome about your son, man, is like, he's only wrestling because he wants to. Like, he graduated like, super early. He's like going to be a chemical physicist, fiscal monster. Like, he can do whatever he wants to do. And it's always awesome. And it's not just him. We got a group of guys that do it for like, they just love doing it. And when you love doing something, it's so much easier to learn and grow, because they don't have an ego in terms of wanting to learn. If a veteran comes up to him and gives him a criticism or something, they're eager and they want to hear it because they want to be better. When you go up to a guy who's playing wrestler and you give him a criticism, his first response is, well, I was fine with it. The audience was fine with it. No one said anything to me. And I believe Aaron had that thing. And I just looked at Aaron and I said, don't you ever talk to that guy again. I swear to God, if I see you give that guy advice again, I will punch you in the side of the face. Because not the face, because I know your mouth and your eyes is everything to you. But I will box you in the ear, because you're wasting.
Not the face.
Yes, you're wasting. You're wasting your time. And again, we don't have all the answers, because you know what? I still will go to Luke and say, "What did you think? You see anything?"
No,
or Trevor, "What did you see? What did you see? What did you see?" I will go to my friend who will not bull. I mean, like, hey, man, I don't think you should be doing that leg drop anymore. It doesn't look right, you know, or like, hey, you need it like this. That's because you love the game and you want to be better. When you start coming back from the ring saying, yeah, I did it and I'm over, you're done. You're in the wrong sport, because nobody has a flaw that you can. Oh, if you can't find anything wrong in what you're doing, then you've had the perfect match, then you have nothing left to do.
Yep.
Because you know what I'm saying? Like I go back and when I'll watch my matches and I will tear myself apart to the point where like I won't allow myself to watch matches of myself until it's past a few weeks. Because I will.
But that's because you're honest. You're honest. Yes. You have honest eyes. You can look at yourself and say, "Hey, that's just not just with that. That's in life. You're the type of person. If you screw up, you go, I screwed up. Hey, I need to fix this." So most people aren't like that. Most people walk away from problems. They ignore problems. We know this. We talk about it often, right?
Yeah, and it's so true in the wrestling business. You know,
it's the guys that always have something to say when you give them advice.
Yeah, when like, they cut you off. Oh, I know, but
I hate that word. Sorry about my language.
No, but I can remember a time where I disagreed with Undertaker's criticism of my match. I felt like he didn't understand where I was coming from. But you know what? Up until right now, unless he's listening, he will never know that because he's the Undertaker. And when he was chewing me out and Finley looked at me and I just took it. And I took it, and I can look him eye in eye, and he's chewing my ass out because I fired up when I T-boned Edge halfway across the ring, and Edge even told me, hey, you got him, kid, fire up. And so I fired up. I did exactly what I was told to do in the goddamn ring, and I get back there, and Taker was like, what in the fuck was that? You firing up wrestling for the heavyweight championship of the world? You think you're over? And I was just like, no, sir. I didn't say, well, Edge told me to. I just took it. And he was, like, throwing his hands up. He even did the thing where he turned his back and came back. You know, and he was just like, you don't fire up. You're trying to win the championship. You pin him. I'm like, yes, sir. I'm sorry. Won't happen again. Even though I had an argument. But, like, I'm not going to correct The Undertaker.
No.
Because he's never going to talk to me again after that. He's going to say, well, you got all the answers, man. This guy and be about his way, and then I just missed out, and then it will trickle down because then he's going to be having a steak with Arn somewhere and be like, yeah, I tried to talk to the guy and he had all the answers, and then Arn be like, can you believe that motherfucker told Taker what he thought about his work and he corrected him, and by the time it's done, literally the ring announcer won't even say my name anymore coming to the ring, that guy, you know what I'm saying, he knows it all, ladies and gentlemen. So you don't.
I hope people know how serious you are right now.
Like, that is legit. That's exactly like, that's how it is. Happened. That's all it takes for you to go from up and coming, someone that they will, as Arn Anderson used to tell me, how many shirts did I have to change rolling around with you in the ring? Because why? I always shut up and I listened and I never, ever questioned anything. Even if I knew, like, ah, man, I don't think that's right. That's not my place at that moment to say because I'm a student. Nope. Student of the game. Now I've got to the point where I'm at towards the end of my career. And now I turn and when a young guy comes up to me and I'll talk to him and tell him I live by one rule. As soon as he checks me and tells me, I don't f with him anymore.
Nope.
You know, it's no point. Because if you have all the answers, then there's no point. Go out there and create your magic. Look out. You're on your way. You're gonna have every belt in this company, kid. You got it. You know, but that comes from training. I'll tell you right now, none of Luke's students would be in there and be like, oh, you know what? I liked it. You know, the girl in the third row liked it. You'd be like, huh?
I got a couple of them, bro. I put the head through the wall. But I don't, but I could.
No, yeah, you know, it's a happier, kinder Luke, and we all thank you for that. You know, it was an easy adjustment. Yeah.
But, Luke, the reason you don't is the same reason that Tyrus, when put in that situation, reacted the way he did, when Trevor has been put in situations like that, when A-Rai, when all of us, because you're a man, okay? Because you have integrity, all right? And you know right from wrong. And that kind of sums it up to where if you have a match, right, when something doesn't go your way, I'm giving you the opposite thing, and you go and bury someone to the boss behind their back, or when you use your own excuses and your own shortcomings, to go and bury other people and pretty much lie about them because you feel that is how you are going to succeed. You know, you may be able to fool one or two people, but with a lot of trained eyes, there is absolutely no fooling that. And that's what's happening. And again, it's people with integrity versus people with zero integrity.
You know,
but the bird coming from a mile away too.
The truth is though, Aaron, I may have reacted the right way in a couple situations. And looking back, I may have not reacted the right way in a couple situations. You know, I mean, I was like, okay, listen. And then a couple times I try to, you know, for me, it was a learning process. And I'm just telling the truth that, you know, at times when people were giving me their opinion late in my career, I might have done the wrong thing. I might have said, okay, well, I'm going to stick with this and not that. And you know, that's something maybe I'm still kind of carrying around with me.
Okay. Here's an example. You know, speaking of, we're going to see A-Rod, because speaking of school, speaking of teaching, This Wiseman has been sort of like us coming together and, you know, being a part of something. And you have constantly, you know, behind my back, always trying to talk about how you could run the show and you could do these things. And yes, Aaron gave me a detailed text message. I know everything. Thank you, Aaron. I thank you so much for always having my back.
There's no evidence of that.
No, of course. Aaron, I had the good taste of leading. Well, here's my point. I've got to do the five, right? So Aaron, since you think you told me that Kevin thinks he knows it all, Kevin is going to lead the last 20 minutes of this podcast, okay? And you better remember how to end the show. Nobody help him. And
I never
Luke
said
Luke,
I could run the podcast.
So here you go. Ladies and gentlemen, for the next remaining 20 minutes of this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Kylie, who wants to be number one, it's your show, and good luck, and you better end it right. So, love you guys. Good luck, Kevin.
Brother,
we'll talk to you later.
Sink or swim, baby. I just pushed you through the curtain. Go, kid. Call it out there. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
Aaron, did I say I could run the show better than Tyler?
He made it up. He made it up. It is a complete fallacy. He has to do the five, or maybe, you know what, with scheduling, maybe there's something at the cafeteria he likes. You know what I mean? Maybe it's like grilled chicken breast day. And he, so whatever it is, but I think he's going to do a great job, Kevin.
Hey, he is going to do a great job. He's safe. There's no ropes to jump over here. He's 100% in control.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do we have a new format, Kevin? What do you think about a format now? Like, you can make changes. You are in command. Right now.
Well, since the boss is gone, can we talk about, you know, is that something we can get all freaky about now?
What? Well, no, we're still on the air.
My bad. I didn't know we're still on the air. My bad.
Yeah,
my bad.
We're still on the air. That's a.
They're going to edit that part out for sure.
Of course.
I was speaking about way, way in the past. I never said I could run the show better than. Did you say that?
Never. And there was never a private text message sent. Like, in fact, when he was hosting Gutfield last night, which he, by the way,
crushed it.
And what was going on, I was like, oh, we had that little group text going on. And I was going to text him, like, I was like, oh, Brodus, you know, what's saved in my phone, I still have him as Brodus. But like, hey, you're killing it. But I said, wait a minute. No, I'm going to put it in the group text. So I don't do the onesies like that. But when I discuss Wiseman business, it is in the Wiseman group text.
And per the text, he walked into that with a delayed flight, 5-hour delayed flight, walked in, no rehearsals, no writers, sat down. They said lights, camera, action. And he was on point. So, man, that's we got to be proud of that, dude. He went out and killed it.
But that's a wrestler, right? And that's what, like, honestly, at some level, we're all trained to do. Now, he is amazingly talented in his own way. But in terms of the thinking on your feet, right? Like, how many times have we all been in a situation where you're, like, you're on live television or you're out in the ring or, you know, something happens, you're in a match and, you know, you get busted open and you have to make last-minute adjustments on the fly, right? So it's almost like a muscle in your brain that just gets used to doing it, right? Like, switch comes on. Here we go.
That's Tyrus' specialty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've all been in the ring with the guy that's like, where are we at? What are we doing?
Take
a deep breath, bro. That's what this is all about, Kevin. Just take a deep breath and leave the show, brother. You got this, man.
He's got it.
Are you in the studio, Kevin?
No, I'm not. I'm in Florida.
All right.
Hey,
I got something to talk about really quick. So I'm coordinating a little. Well, I think I'm coordinating a little episode of this television show, and I'm submitting some guys. Aaron, I already submitted you. I submitted Tyrus. You know, I can submit Trevor and you guys too. Tell you more about it off the air if y'all interested. I don't know if y'all.
They got a fat redneck spot. They got a fat redneck spot.
They actually one of the descriptions is a fat redneck type guy. So I was like, you're perfect for it. But yeah. I don't know what your schedule looks like, so I want to talk to you about it. Hey, Rye, I wouldn't mind having you submit if you want to do any of that stuff too. Like, it's just
absolutely, man. Yeah, I'd be grateful. Thank you.
You know, any of y'all. Like I said, like so. What I do is I'd submit y'all, get y'all through casting, you get a little audition, and then it's up to how you doing the audition and what the director thinks of you from there.
Look, let me ask you this. In your position right now in Hollywood, right? Like, because I'm actually fascinated when the way you coordinate and stuff like that. Has that kind of worked for you, or I should say, has being in wrestling worked for you in that world in terms of just like?
But 100%. Well, that's why I never ended up taking any WWE deals when it was offered to me, because I'd already got established in this world and I was already doing too well to take a back step and go back into wrestling and be unsure. You know, it's like I could wrestle at my convenience now and not have to do it, you know. And worry where my next check's coming from or anything. I got stability behind me because of the film business. So which made me more valuable in wrestling. So it worked. It ended up working hand in hand. You know what I'm saying?
Very cool, man. Yeah,
Aaron, so I want to talk about this. When did I say I could run the show better than Tyler?
Not one time. No, and I'm publicly saying this on the air. Not one time.
Like, I don't believe I ever said that.
Let's just take it. You got the range, brother. Take it.
Yeah, Kevin, go, man. We're going.
Hey, he's going to drive himself crazy over.
I know.
What are you feeling right now? This is interesting. Like, so what are you feeling right now, Kevin?
He feels like he's about to get fired.
Well, you can't get fired from this. You just,
not from your friends.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just wondering where I ever said I could run the show better than Tyrus. I don't believe I ever said that.
You can't.
You didn't. Clearly.
You didn't.
No, I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. I was trying to motivate you. Come on. Yes, you can. Come on. You can do this.
I don't know. I would talk about social media and its reflection on athletes and stuff like that. I mean, how much of social media is real in our characters? How much of it isn't? You know what I mean? I think I've been trying to get my name changed. Are y'all there?
Yeah,
yeah. I've been trying to get my name changed from Kylie Jr. WWE for the last 2 years, and I go to Instagram's phone number and I call them and they say we can't help you on the phone at all. It's like an automated thing. So then they send me to help, and that's still affecting it. You know what I mean? So I'm just how powerful do you all think social media is? In this day,
I hate social media. Personally, I hate social media. I don't know about 100%. I hate it.
It's a necessary evil. That's the only bad thing. It's because it's so easy. And look, I was just talking about this the other day about music, right? Back in the day, the way you got into music was you went to LA with your band, you played gigs, right? You try to get discovered, you get seen, get a record deal, all that stuff. Now it's you want to get caught on social media. You're singing on YouTube. You're singing on your Instagram.
You're trying to get Justin Bieber. That's what it is. They want the Justin Bieber act, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's just a completely different ballgame now, you know? And it makes it easy and accessible for everyone. It makes everyone feel special and like they're a celebrity. That's why people do it.
Right.
You get a response. Think about this. If I go on Twitter right now or Facebook and I write, I'm sad for whatever reason, or I write, you know, whatever, somebody's going to respond to it. And it's
right, it's hard to project yourself. Like, everybody's going to interpret everything a little bit differently. You know what I mean?
Yes, but
depending on what mood they're in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but like to Luke's point, Luke, you just touched on something that I'm going to air out in public if you guys are done making your point, so I don't want to step on anyone.
I'll just say it.
Okay, the stuff about so-and-so, I'm in the hospital, and then you find out it was just for a sprained ankle, but these people posting these pictures of them in situations that are less than pleasant all the time, and, today is the 7-year anniversary, and look, I'm an animal person. I love animals, okay? Maybe it's okay to post and stuff, but, like, there are people that constantly do this all the time. And like that, that is when social media becomes like unhealthy. Right. Because well, you know what?
There's people out there that shouldn't have platforms, guys. That just shouldn't be able to, you know, call it fair or unfair. There's just some people that just need to shut the hell up. And we, you know what I mean? Like, we shouldn't have to hear from them.
We don't have to. That's the thing. That's why we can add them, you know, and we don't have to have them. So
is Tyrus coming back yet, or is he gone?
No, you're leading the show. Come on.
Hey, Ryan, this is you. So we got about, what, seven
minutes
left? You got
the steering wheel, bro. You got
we got 7 minutes left. We'll start the clock. We won't go too long. Yeah. You know, people at Fox have to get where they're getting, you know.
Rocket. Yeah. What's your current time?
What's our time? Yeah, what's our time, Kev?
I believe we got 16 minutes.
Right, we can go 16 minutes. That's easy. Come on now. We're calling on the fly.
This is nothing. We got this.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think social media is a big, I think we talked about addictions on the show too before, right? And I think social media, if we want to talk to like everybody too, I think it's a, you know, it can become an addiction, right? And I've talked about that before. And I think a lot of, you know, I think everybody deals with it. It's like, who are you on social media as opposed to who you are in real life, you know? And then where is that line blurred? And how much can we be judged in that space as opposed to the, you know, as opposed to the people that we really are, you know? And I don't think it's just wrestlers that deal with it. I think, you know, I think a lot of people deal with it. And I think it's just a lot of access to everything, you know?
Plus, I know for me in my household,
how much is a character? Yeah.
Social media play, like, I guess I'm on, my wife and I have timers on our phones. Because we will sit here and be going, like, I'll be a creeper and just flipping through TikTok. And before I know it, I've spent an hour laughing at people doing dumb
right, right.
And I'm like, man, I just wasted an hour looking at my TV, my phone for nothing. And that's what I think where a lot of Americans at today, too. Like, we waste a lot of time watching other people live life.
Right.
Well, the other thing is they control what you look at. And that's no secret. Look. You know what I mean? They like your phone, whatever app you use, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, they're pushing what they want you to see. They're not necessarily pushing. I don't always see your tweet. If you tweet something, it ain't popping up first or in order. They gotta get the algorithm and all that bullshit. So, you know, it's something that could easily be manipulated, is what I'm saying.
It's the biggest catfish out there, right? It's all about
It's advertising, right? That's just, it's advertising, right. and that's kind of, again, it's to me, because people make a big deal about it. I say the knowledge that we have that this is going on is power in and of itself, because we can choose not to play the game, right? We can choose to be like, all right, this is the way it is. This is a form of commerce. Really, there's just like, I don't know, if you don't give it too much energy, it won't affect you that much, right? Does that make sense?
That's the truth.
Yeah, you said before it was like an energy, right? It can become an energy, and it can be used for good or it can be used for bad. And it's a hard thing to understand. I still want to know where I said I could do this better than Tyrus.
Oh, my God, dude.
That's ridiculous.
Just pull the trigger, Jesus.
He's doing great, though.
You're killing it, bro.
Like, we're going to get. If I had a sound machine, I'd give him a round of applause.
Right. We're flowing. This guy hits the pause button, wants to put us back at first base again. We're doing great. No, social media.
Aaron, what's new in your life, man? What's going on?
Well, no, I just got back to Kentucky about 2 days ago, so that was good. But, no, things are good. I'm actually really looking forward to 2023, because so far it's been pretty awesome. And if it makes you feel any better, I can do a Tyrus impersonation while on the air.
Yeah, that would help. Yeah.
Like for more podcasts like this, just like this. Where can they find you, Kevin? Like, you know, that's we can do that.
Wrong host, Briz.
Hey, I did find that WWE breaks all time gate viewership records at Elimination Chamber article. February 21st, 2023. WWE announced today that 2023 Elimination Chamber, which blah 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 blah. I'm just scrolling through. It's a bunch of bullshit. Highest grossing and most viewed Elimination Chamber in the company's history. Viewership of 2023 Elimination Chamber saw a 54% increase versus the previous record set in 2022. the largest gate ever for any WWE event held in Montreal, and the largest gate in the history of Elimination Chamber. Blah, blah, blah. It keeps on, so it's just saying they're crushing it.
That's proof. No, but that's proof when you do an angle right, when you invest time in something, it will work.
Right.
Sammy, bloodline gimmick in Montreal, home, you know, Sammy's Canadian. Like, that was such, in my opinion, that's smart booking.
Right. Of course it is. Yeah. And it's great. It's great. But it all goes into back to saying what I'm telling you. If they're trying to sell the company, of course they want it at,
right.
You know, they want to put out, hey, we're bringing in bigger profits than ever.
Well, Vince is asking, what, $9 billion? Have you guys seen that he's wanting $9 billion?
Is that what it was? I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah. I've seen it, but I don't remember what the price was.
When I read it, the only thing that popped in my head was like Austin Powers, $9 billion.
You think somebody would pay that?
But you know what? I can see, like, when we were talking about in the case of the Saudis, because they simply have that kind of disposable income. But, you know,
and to have that control over something that big in culture, in American culture.
Somebody paid $44 million for Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean,
billion. I'm sorry. $44 billion. I'm sorry. I can't speak today.
No. But, like, they see if there's future money to be made, and WWE has always been an earner.
Yes.
So, I mean, I could see us, you know, somebody with a bunch of money, you know, want to step in and buy that.
Okay, so say it's the Saudis. Do they move everything to there? Do they move everything to Saudi Arabia? They just shoot everything there as a private? Because they said it won't be a public company anymore. It'll go private. So
personally, I think they would lose their I think they would lose their American audience.
I do too.
You know, it's just like Busch Beer in St. Louis. You know,
What happens with the wrestlers on the contract?
Well, that's some big, you know, that I don't know, bro. That's a hell of a question. You know what I mean? I would be nervous
because that's what I'm asking. Why isn't anybody talking about it? Why isn't anybody asking? Right? That'd be a key concern, right? If your company is potentially being sold to Saudi Arabia.
Well, up there, you guys know the gimmick up there. You know, keep your mouth shut. We'll tell you when we know.
Well, no, and the reality is, like the absolute reality of it is, and we all know this, they are far more concerned with their bottom line, how much money they will make in their profits, as opposed to the future of their talent. Because despite any kind of, you know, public perception, now, there are times that I will say, as a company, they have been very decent. Like, and this is from my own personal experience, right? I
can say the same thing as well.
Decent, yes. But, like, there's also been far, far many more times when, like, they will put out one image to the public and pretty much you will get kind of the opposite of that going on in their own practices. And, like, a perfect example, and I've said this, Vince McMahon, and I'm not saying this is good or bad, by the way. I'm saying
coming about Disney? Angle.
What's that?
You talking about Disney?
We got about 1 minute, guys. We got about 1 minute. Right. We got to wrap it up. Yeah.
You got it. So what it is he has said anti-bullying, right? And he does all of this money with his campaign. And then at the same time, he will sit in talent meetings and say, you need to stab each other in the back and step on toes if you want to get ahead. You know, he has the ability to create a culture where it doesn't have to be like that. And his practice is something other than what he's preaching. Now, again, I'm not like good, bad, it's survival of the fittest. It's just the duality of it. And that's like not caring about the actual talent. That's something that, you know, in my opinion, is what's going on in the sale of the company.
All right. You want to end it on that?
It looks sounds like we're going to.
All right. Guys, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can go to foxnewspodcast.com. I never said I could run this show better than Tyler. Not said.
Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.